First John chapter number 3, beginning at verse number 10, and we'll conclude at verse number 15. And I'll be reading from the King James Version. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderers have eternal life abiding in him.
Good morning. As most of you know, Richard is in Alabama, Bethelbury, Alabama, holding a gospel meeting. 2 weeks ago, we talked about 1 John 3 and the first 9 verses. And in that discussion, pointed out that there were 2 kinds of people in the world. There are those that the Bible describes as continuously practicing sin, and they're from the devil. And then there are those who is born of God who does not continuously practice sin. I hope you notice the difference. It doesn't say continuously practices righteousness. It says does not continuously practice sin is one who's of God. In the passage that Andy just read for us, John, through the Holy Spirit, is going to help us to understand that better. He says there's a contrast between the children of God and the children of the devil. And there's 2 criteria for it. There are 2 things that we need to look at. One is practicing righteousness, which is very simple to explain, just doing the right thing. Being right, talking right, dressing right, doing right, being in the right places, associating with the right people, all of that's doing righteousness. And on the second criteria is brotherly love. Now, both of these criteria, if you want to continue to use that word, are introduced earlier in this book, in the second chapter, 9 through 11. He talks about the fact that brethren who love of necessity have to be abiding in the light. They have to be living a Christian life, doing the things that Christ wants done. And he connected practicing righteousness with being born again in the second chapter in verse number 29. So these are not new thoughts, but this idea of brotherly love is one that I think is very misunderstood in the world today. And it was very misunderstood in John's time because he takes all the rest of the epistle to talk about it. He introduces it and here, and that's going to be the subject of the study really throughout the rest of the book. He tells us that there are 2 things that manifest the difference between God's children and the devil's child. Let's look at verse number 10. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. The word manifest is a very simple word. It simply means to show or to demonstrate, to reveal. Another lifetime, back when I was in the Navy, back in the 1960s, I was in supply. And we got manifest of the stuff that was on the truck or it was on the plane. We got a sheet of paper that revealed everything that was behind those locked doors. That's what it means here. It is revealed to us. It's made clear to us. It's demonstrated to us who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. You noticed I didn't say anything about any gray area in the middle. We love to populate that gray area in the middle. We don't want to get way over here and because then you're a fanatic. You're some kind of religious nut. You're somebody nobody wants to associate with. Or we don't want to get way over here because, again, nobody wants to associate with an evil person. Nobody wants to be thought of as just plain wicked. Well, let's be here in the middle somewhere. I hate to break it to you, there ain't no middle. Just plain old blunt English. It just is not there. We got to choose which one. And once we make that choice, it becomes clear, manifest, revealed, shown to those about us. Or we may think we hide it. We can talk a good story. We can kind of peek around a corner. There's nobody looking. I can be what I really am. Oh, there's somebody I want to impress, so I'll act this way or that way. John says, no, it's manifest. You don't have to be around people too long till it's pretty clear whether they're a child of God or a child of the devil. The thing that demonstrates it is their lifestyle, their practice of righteousness. And not only that, but their love of the brethren. Now, you can practice righteousness by singing every song, perfect pitch, perfect timing. You can word a prayer that just brings the audience to tears. You can fill the basket. Practice extreme righteousness. But if there's no practice of love, that's pretty manifest too. That's pretty clear. Who's a child of the devil and who's a child of God? Because the child of the devil does not practice righteousness, and the child of the devil doesn't have brotherly love. I started to say almost everybody. I'll say everybody has a public face and a private face. You know, you say, how you feeling? Oh, I'm okay. I'm fine. You can barely move. You know, my hands are hurting today. I don't know, weather change, whatever's going on. My hands are hurting. And my knees are hurting. But if you asked me earlier today, how you doing? I say, I'm fine. That's a public face. Don't we all do that? There was a lady, a sister in the congregation that I preached at before that I swear she probably had the least amount of public face of anybody I knew. You'd say, how you doing? She'd say, well, you know, my hand right here, this knuckle is just, and 25 minutes later, she's done describing all of the aches and pains and problems and bills and relationship problems. I mean, she's right out there. And you know what? Folks would walk up and see her and walk around her. They didn't want to stand there for half an hour and listen to everything she had to say. I really don't believe it's they didn't care. It's just, oh my goodness. Do you realize all the trouble I got, lady? Do you realize all the aches and pains I've got? I'm not going to dump that on you. So we have a private face. And we have a public face. But you know something? God sees the private face. He sees what we do in secret. He sees what's going on up here between our ears. He knows the thoughts we have. He knows what it's all about. This idea of brotherly love reaches beyond grabbing somebody and give them a hug and a pat on the back. Jesus tells us, or told us, I should say, from the very beginning. That's what John's talking about in verse number 11. He said, this is the message you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. That's not a new idea. Jesus talked about it himself in John the 13th chapter, verses 34 and 35, where he tells us, that's how folks are going to know whether you're my disciple or not. Whether you love one another. That's how they're going to know whether you're a child of God or not, is what he's saying. The same thing Jesus is saying. And that's pretty clear. I mean, how many people on their way home have diced preacher and sliced song leader for a snack before they get home? I fully acknowledge sometimes my sermons are not worth listening to. Hey, I'm a human being. I have bad days. We all do. Every once in a while, one of our song leaders gets something off key or off timing. They're humans. They're not perfect. But if we love them, we're going to accept that, and we're going to forgive them, and we're going to encourage them, and we're going to help them. Jesus stressed how important love is in the 13th chapter of John, verse 35, when he says, that's what makes it known, manifest to the world. Everybody's going to know whether you're a child of God. We can't hide that. We shouldn't want to. But we can't if we wanted to. He tells us to expect those from conflict. Listen to verse 12. We're not to be as Cain was, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works are evil, and his brother's righteous. He was who of the wicked one killed his brother. How many brothers and sisters have been killed spiritually by somebody's words, by somebody's actions? Some loving brother or sister who they're kidding themselves. They're kidding themselves. You see, the murder all the way back in the garden, or outside the garden, Cain and Abel, was sparked by this contrast that we're talking about between the child of God and the child of the devil. Isn't that what it says? His works were evil and his brothers were righteous. That's one of the marks. Child of God, child of the devil. That's the contrast that was there. We should not be surprised if the world doesn't love us. Go with me, if you will, to John, the 15th chapter, Gospel of John. The 15th chapter, and I'm going to verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me, Jesus said, before it hated you. And if you're of the world loves its own. Yet because you're not of the world, but I choose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. We see that all the time. People that are like me are easier to love than people that are different from me. You know I love politics, so I'm going to use a political illustration. If you want to listen to MSNBC, there has never been a Republican who drew a breath that's worth living. Just never. Everything they do is bad. If you listen to Fox News, I don't know of too many Democrats that are worth keeping around. You see, they're different than we are. So their thoughts are wrong, their values are wrong, their ideals are wrong. I'm saying this from both sides. And it's all over, folks. Don't be surprised. When we fulfill the teachings of Christ, particularly his command to love one another, that soon becomes evident, soon becomes manifest that we're different from the world. And that difference sometimes can lead to jealousy and to even some pretty unpleasant times. When that jealousy erupts. Why does God expect me to heed a command that makes me stand out like that? That makes me different? Why? Well, I think verses 14 and 15 tell us. It's a mark of conversion. It's a mark of me doing and being what God wants me to be. We know, he said, that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Now, brotherly love's not the only indicator. Okay, I've known some pretty loving heathens. I mean, I've known some folks that I would describe as pagan. That they don't have any religious connotation to their life whatsoever. Except maybe their own pleasure. That's their God. But they give you the shirt off their back. Help you at the drop of a hat. Demonstrate love in a very, very real way. But they don't practice righteousness. And we need to make sure that we understand it's not an either or. It's a both. We don't have that choice. But having said that, love is a pretty positive indicator that somebody has been converted to Christ. Somebody is a Christian. And it's pretty clear that if there's a lack of love, that some pretty ominous things are in their future. Some pretty bad things. That person is abiding in death. You know, they call that in the prison system the walking dead. That's just what, under the condemnation of death, they've already been sentenced. The good news is we don't have to stay that way. There is a pardon. I want to tell you, if you want to go to the death house, those folks are pleading, begging for a pardon. Right up to the last possible second. They're waiting to hear that phone and there's a stay in their execution. But I'm sad to tell you that the world's full of people with that same death sentence, except it's spiritual, that don't really care. They don't even sometimes know it. And dare I say that's our fault? What's the song we sing, Andy? You never mentioned him to me. Every time I sing that, it just sends chills up my back. I don't know about you, I sat there and see people's face flash in front of me. I didn't mention it to him. I didn't. No, I never said anything to her. Hating someone makes us a murderer. Hating someone makes us a murderer. He says we're just like Cain. Just like Cain. Hate is not something that just hurts me. So one of the most frustrating parts of preaching is problems within a congregation. I've sat and thought for many an hour, why do Christians not love their brethren? Why? And I've come up with a couple answers for me that helps me to handle it. I'm going to share that with you today. One thing, it may be an indication that conversion never took place in the first place. They're Christian in name only. They're just going through the acts to satisfy somebody else. Sometimes it's a husband wanting to satisfy his wife or a wife to satisfy her husband. Sometimes it's a teenager to satisfy the parents. And they don't have doing righteousness and brotherly love as parts of their life. That's some of it. But that's not all of it, I'm afraid. There may be true conversions where there's hatred between brethren. I think that's what Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians, if you'd like to turn there with me. Excuse me. Chapter 3, 1 to 3. And he said, "And I, brethren," he's talking to Christians, "do not speak to you as spiritual people, but as the carnal." You mean there are Christians who live a carnal life? Yes, there are. He says, they're babes in Christ. You know, you don't lose habits. You don't lose inclinations because you were dipped in the water. That's a growth process. Sometimes it's because they're babes. Now listen, he said, "I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you're not able to receive it." Even now, you're still not able. These are folks that he's fed. For you're still carnal. There's envy, there's strife, there's divisions among you. Are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Some say, "Well, I'm of Paul," and another, "I'm of Apollos." Are you not carnal? Dividing up into cliques and groups, and that's carnal. That's a sign that you're still a babe in Christ. I don't care if you've been a Christian for 30 years. You're still a babe in Christ if you have that kind of an attitude. Because I don't care what the answer is. I can tell you plain for sure, under any circumstances, it's not what God wants us to have if we have hatred for a brother. And if we do, we need to look within ourselves and say, why? Why? What is that? And was I ever converted to Christ? Or am I just still in the very beginning of a growth process? Because Christianity is a growth process. From the moment you're baptized until you're placed back in the ground, you're growing. Or you're dying. One of the two. One of the two. Two compelling reasons are given by John why we ought to love one another. Number one, it's what distinguishes the child of God. And he says it's what signifies a passing from death to life. Now, John's going to have a whole lot more to say about it, and I'm going to talk about it more tonight. But these two reasons should be enough to compel us to examine our hearts, to look at in ourselves and our attitude toward our brothers and sisters. Do I love my brethren? The Hebrew writer said in the 13th chapter in verse number 1, "Let brotherly love continue." Let it continue. Is it continuing in your life? I pray that all of us will examine ourselves today. Now, I know it's Mother's Day, and happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers out there. I didn't forget. I saved that for this close. It's a busy day. But you know something? eternity could be yours today. Today. Are you ready? If your friends, your family, those who know you the best, were asked to describe you and give two characteristics, what would they be? Would it be somebody that just is a loving person and somebody that does the right things? Is it? How about God? When He thinks of you, what two characteristics does He think of? Now be honest. Would He say, oh, that's a loving person. He loves me. She would do anything for those about her. And I know they'll always do the right thing. Serious stuff, folks. There's only the two choices, child of God or child of the devil. If you find yourself in the child of the devil camp, please come home. Please come to Christ. Please do it now. If you've never been immersed for the forgiveness of your sins, we stand ready to help you in any way that we can. If you've done that and then wandered back into the enemy's camp, won't you come home? Please, right now, while we stand and while we sing.